WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS on this Tuesday morning, the 14th of January, and we're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University this morning. Our first guest, Dr. Michael Parkinson, the new director of the MTSU School of Music. Michael, good morning to you.
Thanks for having me here. It's a great day here in Murfreesboro.
Oh, it's always a great day in Murfreesboro. Had a great day at MTSU, too. Now, how long have you been here?
I came to the position last June, and so it's a real thrill to come back to my home state. I'm a native of Cleveland, Tennessee. Haven't been in Tennessee for a long time, so to come back to Tennessee and serve in this capacity means a lot to me.
Now, the MTSU School of Music does so much for the community, so many great concerts. Tell us about some of the things that excite you most about your position of being head of the MTSU School of Music.
Well, first of all, MTSU is a great university. And the arts have a great tradition on campus. I actually attended a summer music camp as a high school student here and have spent time with Joe Smith, the legendary band director. So there's a long-standing tradition of great musical excellence on campus. We have a great faculty. We have very talented students and a very supportive administration. We're making a great contribution to music in the state of Tennessee and beyond, and our future looks very bright.
For people who have never been, and I can't even imagine somebody falling into this category, but there must be somebody who just moved to town. If you haven't been to some of the concerts at MTSU, it doesn't matter what type of music you enjoy. They will have a concert that you will love, and they do this on a regular basis.
That's true. We're getting ready to start our spring semester concert series. And if anyone would like to receive a concert calendar, all they have to do is call the School of Music at 615-898-2469, or they can go to our website. It's a very easy one to remember, mtsumusic.com, and that will direct them to the site where they can go to the concert calendar, and they can print it right down so they can see everything that's going on. We'll have more than 100 concerts coming up between now and the middle of May.
Does our closeness to Nashville have an impact on the School of Music?
Oh, definitely. Some of our faculty, of course, are members of the Nashville Symphony. A number of our faculty record and perform on a regular basis in Nashville. We're totally plugged into the Nashville music scene, and that's something we're working to strengthen on a regular basis.
I know that for a lot of musicians, they have this desire to be a star. Do you ever have students who come to MTSU thinking, I need to fine-tune my talents, and with this being so close to Music City, I'll just pop off and make a million, or two, or three.
Well, sometimes I think students have those ideas, but I think most students realize that the calling into music is something that is a lifelong journey. There are far too many people that you and I both know of who have made it for a New York minute, that's 30 seconds, and then their careers are gone. We're training students at MTSU for the long haul, whether it's in music education, composition, performance, jazz studies, music history, the music industry, which has emerged as one of our most popular degree programs for people who are looking at a variety of ways to become successes in music.
Now, what does that involve, the music industry?
Well, the music industry course, it is a degree in music. I mean, people are studying theory and history and conducting and their instrument, they're in ensembles, but we're also giving them courses in business and career development. We're working with the College of Business and the Recording Industry Program on campus to give our students a wider spectrum of opportunities.
What a great opportunity that is. I mean, a lot of people have stars in their eyes and they want to, you know, be a star, and they have great talent, but they need to have business skills or somebody's going to pull the wool over on them.
Well, that's true. One of the key words, you hear this all the time, is entrepreneurship. And that's something that we're working on with our students to create a more entrepreneurial attitude and mindset for them so that, and just taking the word no, if they hear it and thinking that's the final word, that there's a workaround. And we're giving them a skill set, we're trying to give them a skill set to help them succeed regardless of the situation in which they find themselves.
Now, since you are new to the university here, as the new director of the School of Music at MTSU, tell us a little about what skills you have brought with you, some of your background, and how you think this really is a good match to MTSU.
Well, it is a great opportunity for me at this time in my career. I've had no complaints. I've served at a number of universities. As an administrator, I served at Webster University in St. Louis for a number of years, most recently at Ohio University as an administrator. My background is primarily in jazz, contemporary music, with some pop music mixed in. My degrees are all in classical music. Someone would say that, Mike, you're a bit of a musical schizophrenic, and I'd say, well, that may be true because I've been involved in so many different kinds of music. I'm still an active trumpet player and performer and conductor and teacher. I'm still the kid in the musical candy shop, and so my background is very different from a lot of administrators. I've shared the stage with some of the world's great jazz artists and feel a real blessing in that way. So the excitement that I bring, as well as the experience and the dedication to the betterment of our students.
In the very near future, what is available for the music followers here in the community over at MTSU?
Well, our first concert of the season is actually coming up on the 21st. We have a guest flutist at 6 o'clock p.m., A. Goldsmith. For people looking for something on a Friday, Deanna Little, our professor of flute, and her husband Wendell will be performing at the recital hall on the 24th. And then Todd Waldecker, our clarinet teacher, on the 27th. In February, we have the Wind Band Conference. We have other faculty recitals. And then we have a jazz alumni concert coming up on February the 13th. We're bringing two great alums in, Sean Purcell and Jim White. Again, if folks just go to that website, there, you'll see all of these concerts that are mentioned there. And in many cases, this doesn't include the junior, senior, and graduate student recitals. It's also important to point out that a lot of our concerts, in fact, more than 90% of them are free of admission. There's no charge.
Phenomenal talent over there at MTSU. And this is a great program, the MTSU School of Music. If you've lived here for any time at all, you have heard something about it. And we're very fortunate. Now, there's a lot of physical changes going on at MTSU. Anything in the horizon for the music department? I know you have the Wright Music Building, phenomenal structure there, the old music building right beside it, which is just full of history. Anything else? There may be a parcel of land that doesn't have anything on it yet. Do you have something you want to put there?
Well, we're in the beginning stages of a discussion about a music building. To say more than that would be really premature. We are bursting at the seams in terms of the size of the buildings. The Wright Building, of course, is very important to us. And Saunders Fine Arts, of course, is historically speaking on campus, very important. But both buildings have some problems to be dealt with. And so we're looking toward the future with a beginning discussion of where would we like to be in 5 to 10 years. Building a new building in the state of Tennessee under the best environment is difficult. So we're going to face some challenges to convince the right people to come forward. But the beginning is starting.
Well, that sounds exciting. And I know with the closeness to Nashville, there are probably some musicians who have made it who would like to help out. And this would be a good opportunity. If just by chance, somebody who had a few million that they didn't know what to do with, could they call you and say, I'd like to talk more about this?
Absolutely. I'm always happy to speak with people in the community. They can call the School of Music, and I'd be happy to talk to them. Again, the School of Music telephone number is 615-898-2469. And we do hope that the Murfreesboro community, which is very supportive of our school, will continue to be so. We'd like to see more people coming to recitals and concerts at the School of Music and getting involved in our programming.
Now, once again, what is that website we can go to?
Certainly, it's www.mtsumusic.com.
Easy to remember. Very good. Dr. Michael Parkinson, our guest today, he's the new director of the MTSU School of Music. Welcome to Murfreesboro. And look forward to attending some of the concerts over there.
Thank you for having me. It's a thrill to be here.
Stay with us. Much more to come as we continue to salute Middle Tennessee State University.
WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Hello, it's Sheila from Ryan Flowers and Gifts. We deliver to all around in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Las Casas, Christiana, Rockvale, Reedyville, and funeral homes and hospitals. Check our website at ryanflowers.com. That's R-I-O-N, flowers, plural, .com. And also like us on Facebook. It's very important to shop locally. Ryan Flowers and Gifts, 117 South Academy Street. This is a fourth-generation business, and we've been open for over 70 years.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup. Buy it in the store or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
I want everybody to understand that music lessons aren't just for kids. You can do lessons at any age. And on our drum lesson program, we now have Mr. David Northrup teaching in the store. One of the top pro drummers in the country who's toured with Travis Tritt, John Mellencamp, Lee Greenwood, and lately with Winona Judd. Dave's a great pro drummer and he's teaching here at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
Get more for your money with new and used fitness equipment from Play It Again Sports. Name brands, unbeatable prices, and new equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. We've got I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Traffic building, Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial getting busy. Oakport Parkway at Chaffin Place, Oakport Parkway at Kaysen Lane, also with busy traffic force already this morning. I-24 headed into downtown Nashville looks good. We've just got some congestion around the Bell Road area. You can still give yourself the gift of a healthy smile. Make an appointment with Dr. Rushing and the Nashville Smile Team. Get 50% off a new patient exam, x-ray, and cleaning. Call 220-1100 or visit NashvilleSmileTeam.com today. I'm Randy Bryan with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Increasing clouds this afternoon, a high in the low 50s, and southwest winds around 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, a chance for some showers with mostly cloudy skies, a low near 29. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, right now 36.
Hi, this is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Combine SIS at 2230 Mercury Boulevard next to Tractor Supply. We'd love to welcome you to First National Bank of Murfreesboro and have you as a customer. Member FDIC.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays from 1 to 4.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Says you can't go home. Who says you can't go back? Been all around the world, and as a matter of fact, there's only one place left I wanna go.
Hey, welcome back.
Who says you can't go home?
We're continuing our salute to Middle Tennessee State University. And visiting with us now, Matthew Brown, MTSU English instructor and founder of the Writers Corps. Matthew, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. All of you get real close to the microphone, and you brought with you Patrick Ritchie and Sean Martin. Tell us a little about what all of you do at MTSU.
Well, I teach writing and literature in the English department, and in addition to that, I work with Writers' Corps, which I've been doing for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you brought a book, the DMZ, a Journal of Contemporary Literature by Veterans. Tell us a little about that, and is this part of the work that you do?
Yeah, the idea when we originally started the program was that we wanted to bring in students or people at MTSU who are veterans to write about their experiences, whether it's military related or not, just their lived experiences, both for the veterans themselves to have the experience of not only sharing but also better crafting their stories. It seems to be something that's runs the gamut across the, mm-hmm. the board when you're talking about people who have these experiences, that they swap stories and they have these things that they carry with us that a lot of us are fascinated by. So the idea was, for the benefit of the veterans, to establish this kind of sense of community on campus, but then also so that there'd be a mode of sharing these stories with the greater campus community and with Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee, you name it. So the idea was always that we were going to do use a creative writing workshop model, and that when we had a large enough kind of gathering of materials that we would publish it in a journal like this one. This one also features some photographs that were taken by a guy who served in Afghanistan, which is where all of these photos are taken. And this past spring semester was the first time that we had a large enough pool of stuff to actually publish the journal. But we should have another one coming out this spring. And in the past spring, we had a public reading for our journal release. I was at the Murfreesboro Community Center for the Arts, and I would imagine that this spring we'll have one at the same place, where we featured readings from the journal, and people could then talk to some of the guys who did the writing, and it seemed to work out pretty well.
So you're saying there's a story inside everyone that needs to get out, and you're finding how to release that.
Yeah, very much so, and not even so much so that it's much that I'm doing. I personally am not a vet, so my goal is to kind of facilitate it. I have obviously have a lot of creative writing background. I'm practicing and publishing poet and dabble in some fiction. So I know the methodology pretty well, but when it comes to these experiences, it's not really anything that I feel like I need to mention. Oh, that is, you know, you focus on that, don't focus on that. I'm just kind of there to let it happen. And what really strikes me, especially with the kind of core group of people who we've had there for going on our second year now, with Sean and Pat here included, is the ways that the vets respond to each other with their stories and the things that they focus in on and say, oh, I know what you're talking about with that.
So it almost is a support group in addition to being a creative group.
Yeah, it was never really billed as such, but I think that's a happy coincidence. One of the big reasons that I wanted to start this is because the graduation rate for vets, especially vets who have served overseas in periods of combat, is just abysmal. And so...
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thought once they got into school, they would be the ones who would... you know, be going forward with a phenomenal records and things of that sort.
No, it's really abysmal when you start looking at the percentages of vets who actually come back, get enrolled in school, and drop out, don't finish with the degree. And so that was a big part of this was a lot of the reasons that you hear vets mention is that there's kind of this lack of feeling of comfort on campus. You know, have gone and lived real world stuff beyond, above and beyond what a lot of us will ever experience, and then they come and sit next to somebody talking about how much he threw up that morning, and they think, this isn't me, this isn't for me. So establishing this kind of place of normalcy on campus, I think, has been beneficial, and maybe they can speak to that.
Let's talk with Patrick Ritchie, and Patrick, tell us a little about what drew you to the program, and what did you get out of it?
Actually, I'm a faculty member on campus for the debate team, but I also work with veterans as the faculty sponsor for Bravo, and so I kind of heard about it through that organization. And so I started working with Matt, and I just like the idea of actually writing down what you feel, because I'm a combat vet. I spent over a year in Iraq, and so the idea of like writing down what you do is really almost cathartic, because there's a lot of stuff that you want to say but you can't, and paper seems to be kind of the mode to present some of that information. And so even though I'm a professor, I'm also a veteran, and for me it's been just really helpful to get stuff out that you normally couldn't do in other ways. And it's a way to kind of talk to fellow vets, whether they're students, faculty. It's kind of a community within itself. And so
we've heard so much about the importance of putting things in writing. That seems to make it more concrete and help you as an individual. Is it important for the public to see what is in your mind and maybe what's concerning you?
I think it plays a duality, because I think the number one is the vet to get it out. But if the public can benefit from it, it's always a positive thing. It's kind of one of those cases where they'll never fully understand, but at least they'll have some idea of what it's like. And it kind of shows also the varying stories, that there's not a single soldier story or airman or sailor story, but they're varied, they're multiple, they're complex. And so it gives the public, I think, a better idea of the multiplicity of being a veteran, especially in a combat situation.
Sean Martin, tell us a little about what drew you into this circle.
Well, for me, I started out predominantly on campus a little over a year and a half ago as a transfer student. So coming down, trying to get that community base, that good community base that Matt was talking about, was really important. And I became sort of involved actively through the veteran organization on campus, Bravo. And steadily I began hearing about Writers' Corps. And as soon as I guess I saw the first flyer for it and went in there, and started really listening to some of the stories that everybody sort of had, and you hear the same overall arc in everybody. We're all trying to sort of develop that consistency with not only ourselves as the veteran on campus, but with the other veterans as a whole. And so we developed that community, and as veterans, we tend to take care of our own, and we decide to, you know, be the leaders when necessary or be the student. And we tend to develop these networks with each other that predominantly, I guess you could say, that we sort of help each other along, inclusive into something like the DMZ and Writers' Corps, with not only our projects, but with our personal life as a whole. So, I mean, the overall positive results from something like Writers' Corps has just been phenomenal, in my opinion.
Sean, in this book, you have a section, and yours is titled Down to Sleep.
Yes.
Explain that for us.
Well, for me, I've had one combat deployment to the Al-Anbar region in Iraq in the United States Marine Corps. And when I came back, I've had these periods of isolation, not really knowing what my path was, where I was heading. Like I said, I was a transfer student down to even MTSU. I'm originally from Southern Illinois. So I've been bouncing around and sort of developing my necessary toolkit to sort of stay successful, not only on a campus, but for myself personally. So once I started getting involved in Writers' Corps and I started writing out some of these thoughts and some of these things that are always on my shoulders, you know, you start coming up with, you know, the reasons why you don't sleep, the dreams that you have, the images that you always perceive, but no one else is around that you know of that can really relate to you. So like everybody else said, I think pen to paper has been a saving grace for a lot of us.
Now, that area in which you served is back in the news again. The fighting has resumed there.
Mm-hmm.
Does what goes through your mind when you see things like that? Do you think, did we accomplish anything?
Well, you know, for me personally, it all sort of depends on your unique experience that you went through. I know for a fact that where I was serving and the job that I was doing at the current time, we saw success dependent on our environment of where we were at. And frankly, to see the overall total end state, you really can't hold it upon yourself to see the end result and think that you were responsible for it or you never did anything. Because if that was the case, there would be, I would say, that would probably be another predominant leader to newly veteran suicides that we have for our younger generation coming out of the military as a whole right now.
So this group helps you release some of that.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Patrick Ritchie, your area, says 10 years. It still defines me. So is this going to be a part of you, part of that albatross that you carry with you for the rest of your life?
I would definitely say so. When I got back from Iraq, I was a debater in a small liberal arts college, and I was going to go to law school, and it kind of changed who I was, and I changed my focus for school. I went in and decided I was going to teach, and what I've studied, I worked, wrote my PhD on, was all Middle Eastern studies, post-colonial studies, and so it fascinates me, both in kind of a curiosity way, but also in kind of a terrifying way. And so it does define not only who I am as a person, but also my research as a researcher, because there's so much more to it than what we see on the news. And so I probably will be who I am for the rest of my life. And without being a veteran, I wouldn't have had that experience to kind of jumpstart my professional career.
Now, let me ask both of you this, because as you both have had experience in the Middle East, do you feel that that will ever be a peaceful area?
I would say personally that it's, when you look at peacefulness, it's relative. And so, I mean, you've got to look at the United States as well, and its kind of consensus of peace, conflict and whatnot. I don't think it will ever be gone like it is anywhere in the world, but hopefully as time progresses, it's a less violent kind of conflict and it becomes more of a civil conflict. As we develop, and part of the problems that we deal with are obviously issues not beyond just the region itself, because the region is very, what we call man-made, i.e. the borders and stuff are very arbitrary rather than along traditional lines. And so as a lot of that plays itself out, hopefully there'll be more peace. What you're seeing in Iraq right now is a lot of Sunni Shia fighting because the British made these lines right through the middle of their ethnic groups. And so instead of Iraq being one or the other, it's actually three different countries, and they're trying to fight out who gets it. And so hopefully as that gets more defined, the violence will settle down a little bit.
Instead of outsiders drawing the lines, the boundaries, the borders, should they draw them themselves, the people who live there?
I think they're doing it. I don't even think they're asking permission. It's just naturally happening. And you see it throughout the world. You don't see it just in the Middle East. You also see it in Africa. And even in the United States, you see kind of this partitioning in a way of, well, this area has this very dominant way of thinking, and so therefore, you know, we govern in a different way. And in the United States, we're able to do it peacefully. And I think that's hopefully the end goal for not only the United States, but, I mean, a global solution that we can make these solutions to these problems without resorting to violence.
Sean, as you look back at your time in the Middle East, what stands out in your mind the most when you look at the people, at what they're going through, and then you look at what you went through?
Well, I think the leading thing that, looking back at it all, I think it's the courage. I think it's the sheer courage of the individual people that are not only serving for our standard of freedom and defense of freedom, but actually inside those countries in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in these certain theaters that we only perceive through the news and the media, whereas these individuals each and every day are taking their lives into their own hands and deciding to do something about their situation. And unfortunately, yes, at this current time, violence seems to be some of the answers. However, from just sort of my own observations, my personal experience, breaking down the cultural barriers and the hearts and minds of individuals, I think diplomacy would be the end state that would claim a typical peace, if that's what you define it as.
Obviously, the community can help heal themselves, too, by learning stories like the ones you've shared today. And these are in a book called DMZ, a Journal of Contemporary Literature by Veterans from MTSU. Matthew, how do you get this book?
Well, they hang out at different places on campus. You can get them starting in the beginning of the spring semester at the library, at the student unions. They're also available over here at the coffee shop on the square, Reveille Joe's, mm-hmm. Who's been a big supporter. We've done some public readings there. And so you can duck in there and get them. You can also contact me or one of the other facilitators. So you can contact me very easily at matthew.brown@mtsu.edu or Kevin Brown, who's not here today, but he's another guy like me who's not a vet but has a creative writing background and comes in and helps out. And that's kevin.brown@mtsu.edu. Or you could also contact Pat at patrick.ritchie@mtsu.edu, and we would be more than happy to get you one or more of these things. The first print run that we had printed at the print shop at MTSU, I didn't put them out anywhere. They sat in my office, and I ran out within a few weeks because so many people were coming by and saying, hey, could I get a handful of those? I want to take them to... and give them out to some of the older guys who I know who are vets at my church, or I want to hand some out to my classes, or people just emailing me and saying, hey, I'm not on campus, I'm not around there, but I heard about you, could you mail me one? All of this we're really happy to do, because like I said, part of our mission is to share these lived experiences, because we're inundated with images of what it means to be a soldier, what it means to go through a war. I see there's a new movie about it that I see advertisements for all the time now. And after the work that I've done with this group, I just doubt something doesn't feel right about seeing these kind of glorifications or these condemnations of things that are supremely complicated that are inside of these men and women who have gone through this. And so that's we're really excited to try to get this into the hands of as many people as possible.
So right now, Reveille Joe's on the Murfreesboro Square, that's a good place for the average guy to go for.
Right,
there.
Yeah. Or if you want to you know, send an email to me, I can get you a whole stack of them if you're interested.
Okay. And your email address again?
It's matthew.brown@mtsu.edu.
Very good. Thank you for sharing your stories. And thank you, Patrick and Sean, for what you've done for the community, for the world, and best wishes to you on successes, and thank you for sharing. That's the great thing.
No problem. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Stay with us. Much more to come here on WGNS as we salute Middle Tennessee State University.
Stone keeps on twisting, keep on building lies that you make up for all that you lack. It don't make no difference. Escape one last time. It's easier to believe in this sweet madness, all this glorious sadness that brings me to my knees. In the arms of the angel, fly away from here.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Every Wednesday, get 50% off most items in the store.
All the clothes that we have in the store, no matter what color tag it is half off.
Store manager Mark Sheridan.
Usually, we do run some other type of sale on the furniture and other things that we do sell here in the family store.
Your purchases go directly to fund Salvation Army programs here in Rutherford County. The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, across from Captain D's on Broad.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
Get help from one of our experts at Bell Jewelers. 2 certified gemologists, 4 watch and jewelry repairmen, 11 friendly and knowledgeable staff. Bell Jewelers, voted Murfreesboro's best jewelry store for over 10 years.
Visit us at belljeweler.com. Like us on Facebook.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Weather Eye.
Increasing clouds this afternoon, a high in the low 50s, and southwest winds around 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, a chance for some showers with mostly cloudy skies, a low near 29. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 36.
Stay ahead of severe weather. Get breaking news and local sports scores first. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. We sponsor text alerts from WGNSradio.com. Look for the sign-up link on the homepage. It's a free service.
Brought to you by Safe Auto. Safe Auto gets it. That's why they help keep you in your car with the right car insurance for the right price right now. Because at Safe Auto, what drives us drives you. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
If you want to talk sports, you want to talk local. You want to talk with Monty Hill Jr. and Tim Tackett. It's All Sports Talk, weekdays at 5 on WGNS.
That every long lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me on my way.
Welcome back. We're saluting Middle Tennessee State University this morning, and our guest on this segment is Dr. Deborah Rose Wilson from the MTSU Nursing Department, a professor over there. And what you may not know about her, she was the 2013 recipient of the Tennessee Nurses Association's Excellence in Nursing Education Award. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. It was a really great honor.
That just had to be exciting.
Very exciting. First off, MTSU has excellent nursing faculty, but to be picked statewide as outstanding nursing faculty, it's a thrill.
Now, in 2010, a little over 3 years ago, you went to the University of Botswana. Tell us what you did there and share with us, get real close to the microphone if you would, share with us some of the things that you saw and that impacted your life.
Thank you. Yes, I was invited over to the University of Botswana as a visiting scholar. My background, my PhD is in a field called psychoneuroimmunology, how stress affects our health. And one of my areas of specialty is nursing taking care of itself, the profession of nursing. In Botswana, the profession of nursing had taken a bit of a hit. There was some nurse-to-patient violence reported in the media, and that went viral. And there had actually become some shame to be a nurse. There was a lot of nurses leaving the country, as well as less enrollment in the schools of nursing there. Now, there's a nursing shortage worldwide, but in Botswana it was particularly bad. The Nurses Association of Botswana asked me to work with them to help improve pride in their profession. So one of the things we did was we brought in nurses from all of the 8 health regions of the country to the main city, and we trained these bedside nurses how to speak about nursing, who Florence Nightingale was, how to develop pride in nursing and how to speak to the public, to the media, and to their colleagues to develop some pride in nursing. And we spent about a week with them doing this education. But we also wanted to send them back with something to give to their colleagues. And they were talking about maybe a button or something that said, because the campaign was ironically called I'm Proud to Be a Nurse, we wanted to do something. But of course, there was no budget, no money for this. So I decided on my own to purchase these. And they were little brass pins with a Florence Nightingale lamp on it that said, I'm proud to be a nurse. And myself and my student nurses of Nurses Association of MTSU packaged these up and with a card that said, here in the United States, we're proud to be nurses. Be proud to be a nurse. And I had support from Sigma Theta Tau. Austin Peay was involved as well. The Tennessee Nurses Association, as well as other schools of nursing throughout the United States, became involved. And I also bought enough of these pins to sell them for $5 each to pay for the project. So thousands and thousands and thousands of pins were boxed up and sent back to Botswana and distributed. Concurrently, we were also collecting data. As a researcher, is this going to have an impact? What changes has this made? So we did some surveys of the public and as well as stress in nursing and just really seeing what a big ripple effect that this had on the profession of nursing, how nurses felt about their profession, and watched the shortage of nursing decrease and the amount of nurses enrolling in nursing school increase. So it had a profound effect worldwide, just because now we're hearing about how pride in nursing can have a ripple effect on the nursing shortage worldwide. So that was very exciting for us.
It's so exciting to hear that MTSU is tied right to the center of this.
It is. We were at the center, and I really have to take my hat off to the Student Nurses Association. They stood up and they had bake sales, Bake for Botswana on campus. They helped sell the pins to colleagues and at their clinical sites. It was a wonderful experience. But also to really understand that the effect that stress has on the nursing profession and really understanding how stress affects all of us in our life every day. So that also had a ripple effect. So nurses are taking a little bit better care of themselves. Nursing is recognized as the most trusted profession and has been for, you know, more than a decade. And we want to get that happening worldwide, not just here in the United States and Canada, but worldwide.
Now, as you look back, the contacts that you've made there in Botswana, 3 years later now, what are they telling you? How is the feeling there in Botswana among the nurses?
You know what was really exciting? One of the things that was on that card was my email address. And Botswana, for a rural landlocked country, is very well wired. I was getting emails and letters from nurses whose first language wasn't English. It may have been Swana or even one of the very native languages in Botswana, telling me how proud they were to be nurses and what a great camaraderie they felt when the United States reached out and said, "We care about you. Please, you know, please take care of yourself. You're important to us." So that was important to my Student Nurses Association, but it also had a ripple effect. The students got excited about global work. We had students from that very group go on to Guatemala the next year. We've had students working towards going to do some work in Haiti. We've done some of the RAM trips now, and we're actually looking at doing some RAM trips in the Middle East. That's the remote access medical trips, just to assist people with less access to medical care. So it's had a ripple effect on our students at MTSU as well. They've gotten excited about doing some global work.
When you look at the training that the nurses get in Botswana or Haiti or any of these other places, is it similar to what we learn here?
It is very similar. Nurses are nurses worldwide. How you do it may differ, and how, you know, the patient is charged or how money is recouped for the hospitals differs greatly, which has a huge impact on how nurses practice. But what happens at the bedside, caring for wounds, caring for patients, caring, doesn't change.
I don't know if it's the baby boomers who are getting older and that segment of the large segment of population is creating a need for nurses, but there seems to be a real demand in the United States, at least, and probably Canada also, for nurses. Are you able to fill the supply?
We're still in trouble. There's still a nursing shortage. There's also a nursing faculty shortage, which is an issue that we're also trying to address, which, of course, has a ripple effect on how many students you can graduate. We're doing better. It's certainly being addressed by the American Nurses Association and state board associations, but we're also not dropping our standards of practice. We're not letting more people graduate from nursing school just because we need more. There is still a very high standard to get through nursing school and to graduate. People who graduate from nursing school should be very proud. It is one of the most difficult programs to get through.
Now, as a just a regular citizen, I didn't hear about nurse practitioners until a few years ago. They may have been with us forever, and we didn't know about it. But a nurse practitioner is one of those people that I've heard was just a notch below the doctor, and they put them in charge of clinics, in charge of a lot of very important places. Do you offer a program in nurse practitioning at MTSU?
We do. We're part of the ROTP-ROCC consortium. It's one of the many graduate programs, over 100 graduate programs that we have at MTSU. Becoming a nurse practitioner is one of the options. There's also a Master of Science in Administration and a Master of Science in Informatics, which is now a much-needed profession. These are nurses who have a bigger impact, a different impact than what you would normally see at the bedside nurses. Nurse practitioners often practice in primary care. Because there's not enough physicians in rural areas, nurse practitioners fill that role quite nicely. They can see patients in an office, and they don't do surgery, but they may not see very complex patients. They can refer to that. But things that you would normally see a primary care physician for, a family nurse practitioner can step into that role for a lot less of the healthcare dollar.
So if there are people listening right now who have children or who are themselves thinking, I'd like to get into an exciting career, you would recommend nursing.
I love to be a nurse, and I am very proud to be a nurse. There's something about nursing that is, it's difficult. You have to be a good student to be even accepted into a program. It's very competitive throughout the United States to get into nursing programs. But once you're a nurse, the options are incredible. Graduate studies are certainly an option, but even if you don't go on for graduate school, you can work in public health. You can work in an acute care facility. You can do patient education. You can work in an OR, or you can work in a school. There are so many different opportunities, and you can change your career within nursing every few years.
And what sounds exciting, too, is as you talk about nursing, and then you tie that into Botswana, mm-hmm. Guatemala, Haiti, all of these places, these students at MTSU are really, when you say broadening your horizons, man, that's about as broad as you can get.
Our students at MTSU are making a difference. Not only are we fulfilling some of the nursing needs in Middle Tennessee area, but we have students who are leaving the state, going to Washington and making a difference. We have students who are leaving the country and making a difference, well representing our beloved blue throughout the world. And MTSU is getting a name. We are known as one of the largest undergraduate universities in Tennessee, but we're also, you know, my heart is here. We're the best school of nursing in the state of Tennessee, and I would bet in most of the Southeast. We have some of the best nursing faculty, and our students, when they graduate, are prepared for any type of nursing emergency. They can step up.
And it wasn't too long ago that you got a new home. Has that enabled you to do more?
We have a wonderful school of nursing. You must come over and see it. We have labs where we have sim labs. We have Birthing Annie. We have a mannequin that gives birth. And everything that a woman would do, including the sounds and needing to start perhaps IV fluids on her or examine her and actually birth her baby. We have mannequins that can have a heart attack. And then we can help the students decide and get used to functioning in an emergency situation where there's no danger to the patient. If something happens to the mannequin, it's okay. We can turn it off and turn it back on. But for students, it gives them an opportunity to get some hands-on experience so they get some motor memory and general memory of understanding how to function. And their stress when it really comes to the situation of a real emergency, they can function much better.
How can people learn more about the nursing program at MTSU?
I encourage you to call the School of Nursing at MTSU. Visit our website at mtsu.edu/nursing.
And I can tell just by having you here on the show, Dr. Deborah Rose Wilson, her enthusiasm is contagious. You can't be with her for more than a few minutes without thinking, this is exciting.
Are you going to come and become a nurse?
Well, I may need to change career. I think so. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Deborah Rose Wilson with us from MTSU. Our focus today has been on Big Blue, Middle Tennessee State University. Very much a part of this community. Stay with us. Much more to come. Truman's next right after the news on WGNS. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking with our mayor, Tommy Bragg.
I tend to get so insecure.